So I remember a number of years ago when I was in the dating world, I was speaking to a Rav, a very prominent Mechanech in the Jewish world. I was trying to find out about a girl, and of course one of the questions you ask about a girl, of course, is what? Is she a Tzanua girl? Does she have Tznius? And I said to her, I said, so is she a Tzanua girl? And he said, yes, her relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, it's sincere, definitely. I said, okay, maybe I was talking on the phone, maybe he didn't hear me clearly. He said, all right, so she's Tzanua, she dresses Tzanua. Yeah, 100%, she's really MS, she believes, she has a good relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she's a great girl. I said, maybe you just don't understand me again. No, Rabbi, I understand. I'm saying in terms of her dress, her clothing, Tzanua, does she dress in a modest way? Oh, yeah, she dresses in a modest way, okay. But in terms of Tzanias, she really has it, yeah. So that was my first introduction to the concept that Tzanias does not mean clothing. And it's a very common misconception that the concept of Tzanias simply applies to how a girl dresses. There is so much more to it, so much unbelievably more to it, as we're going to see, Be'ezus Hashem, over the next half hour or so. And God willing, hopefully we'll have a much better understanding of what this concept of Tznius really is all about. And especially in Yoni Dioma, as we count our Sferas HaOmer leading up to our Kabbalah HaTorah, we ready ourselves to accept the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we will hopefully have a better understanding of how this applies to us and how this helps us. So first of all, just to really stress the point that Tznius really is not just about clothing, especially not just about a woman's clothing, Rav Chaim Friedlander in Sifsei Chaim says, the words are that Tznius is the mafteach lechol hamidos tovos. Tznius is the, call it the opening, the key to all midos tovos. So clearly this is referring to something much greater than simply just how we dress. And clearly this is stating a tremendous importance to what the Midah Tznius really is all about. Rav Dessler says in Michtav Eliyahu that without Tznius, as we're going to get into later on, without Tznius, there's no way of knowing if what we are doing is Lishma. A person will live his entire life doing all of his Maisim Tovim, doing all of his mitzvos, learning all of his Torah, and it could be there's not an ounce of Lishma in anything he's doing if he doesn't exhibit the Midah Tznius. So again, clearly we are talking about something much more than a woman's clothing. We have to understand what this Midot Tznius is all about. What does it have to do with Kabbalah HaTorah? So look at source number one. From Shmos Perak Lamedal, Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk in referring to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu the second time that he should come up to Har Sinai to get the Luchos Shnios. Because what happened to the first set of Luchos? What happened?
Smashed them.
Why? So why do you think Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Luchos? What happened?
Egozov.
So that's seemingly what happened, right? Let's look at an unbelievable Rashi. So first the Pasuk says, V'ish lo ya'ale imach, v'gam ish al yira b'chol ahar, gam atzon v'habakar al yiru el mul haharahu. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, this time only you come up to Har Sinai, B'nei Yisrael should not be anywhere near the mountain. And says Rashi, an unbelievable thing, V'ish lo ya'ale yimach, harishonos, al yidei shehayu b'tesuos, v'kolos, v'kehila. The first set of luchos, because they were given with a celebration, and with a gathering, and with loud noises, and thunderous ovations, so because that's where the first luchos were given, shalta bahen ayin ra. So the ayin ra, the evil eye, whatever that may mean for now, the ayin ra, had its dominance on those luchos. It was doomed for failure. And says Rashi, Ein lecha mida yafe min hatznius. There is no greater mida than that mida of tznius. An unbelievable Rashi. Again, so first of all, number one, clearly we are not talking about how a person dresses. And number two, there is a clear connection here between the Kabbalah HaTorah and that mida of tznius. Rashi is laying out a yesod for us, that what went wrong in the first luchos, there was no midah of tznius. So therefore the ayin ra came in, and those luchos were doomed. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, this time when you come up to Shemayim to get the luchos, just you, nobody else. That's the way it has to be. Okay? Let's look at source number three. Again, just to stress how we are not talking about clothing, that there is something tremendously deep going on. It says at the very beginning of the Torah, Ve'yushneim arumim ha'adam v'ishtov lo yuspo shashu, that Adam and Chava were naked, they had no clothing, but they were not embarrassed in front of each other. And says Rashi over there, Velo Yisposhashu in source number 4, Shelo Hayu Yodim Derech Tznius. They didn't know the way of Tznius. Meaning what? Lehavchin Bein Tov Lera. To differentiate between good and evil. Between what's right and what's wrong. The Midah of Tznius would have helped them be able to differentiate what's right, what's wrong. That whole concept didn't apply to them at that point. So therefore, there was no embarrassment, there was no shame in their state in front of each other. Even though they did have a certain level of insight and knowledge into the world, as we saw that Adam went around and gave names to every single animal and creature in the world. So he didn't have the Yetzirah until Adam ate from the eitz, v'nechnas bo yetzahara, v'yeda ma bein tov l'ra. Only at that point did he know ma bein tov l'ra. So the ending of the story is megale. It reveals to us what the beginning of the story is. The ending of the story is what? That Adam ate from the eitz, and then he had the yetzahara. So therefore he knew there was a good, there was an evil, and then he was challenged. So what does that show about before that happened? There was no yetzahara, right? There was no yetzahara. There was no need to know this midah of tznius. What is the challenge exactly? What are we being tested with this midah of tznius? And then there's a following gemara, which really clinches the point and really shows us how crucially important the midah of tznius really is. And number 5. This comes from the gemara Makos, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, a very famous gemara, in Yonid Yom, of course, leading up to Shavuos. Darash Rabbi Simlai, Shesh Mios V'Shalosh Esrei Mitzvos, Namru lo Moshe. There were 630 mitzvos that were said to Moshe. Shlosh meos v'shishim v'chamesh lavin k'minyan yemos hachamo u'masayim v'arabayim u'shmona ase k'neged e'varav shel Adam. Okay, that's the mitzvos los ase, the mitzvos ase, good. Amra v'amnuna ma'ikra. So where do we see this from? How do we know that there are 630 mitzvos? What's the pasuk we see this from? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Torah tziva lanu Moshe mo rasha. Torah b'gematria, what? There were 613 of them. Those ellipses over there is just that it went from the Amud Beis to the Amud Aleph. So that's why there are ellipses over there, but it's really the next words. Okay? Torah B'Gematria, 611. What? How many mitzvahs are there? 613. What happened to the other two? Anochi v'lo yiyelecha, the first two of the Aseres HaDibros, v'pi ha-gevura shem'anum. We heard that directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara goes on. But David v'hemidon alachas esrei, comes David HaMelech generations later to say the ikar part of a yid's avodas Hashem has to be on the following 11 mitzvos. And the Gemara goes on to list what those 11 mitzvos are based on the Pesukim. And then b'micha v'hemidon al shalosh. And Micha comes a few generations later, and he says that we have to establish them simply on 3 mitzvos, which are what? Dechsev, as the pasuk says, Higidlecha Adam Matov Umashem Dorish Vimcha. Tell mankind what is good and what is Hashem demanding of us. Kiim Asos Mishpat Ba'avas Chesed Ba'atznei Aleches Im Hashem Elokecha. Right, to do judgment, to do Chesed, and Ve'atznei Aleches. So tznius is now one of 3 that we should base our lives on. And the Gemara goes on to define what each of those things are. What would you guess tznius is, without looking ahead, if you haven't already, what would you guess tznius is referenced to in this Gemara? Any guesses? Can't even guess, right? Can't even guess. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Asu mishpat zehadin. We have to have judgment, good. Avas chesed zekimilas chasadim. Very simple, understandable terms. V'hatznei aleches, zeh hotzas hameis, v'achnasas kalo. Bringing out a dead body for a levaya, for a burial, v'achnasas kalo, and bringing a bride into her wedding. And that is the midah of tznius. What in the world is going on here, guys? Let's try to understand. The Maharal writes in the Hakdama to one of his Svarim, I forgot which one it is already, but he says the first step a person has to take in their Avodas Hashem. There's one step that he says this is the first step in a person's Avodas Hashem. What would you think it is? Any suggestions? Any thoughts?
Belief in God.
Makes sense. Good. What else? The first step in Avodas Hashem. Pretty important thing.
Get rid of Gaiva.
Get rid of Gaiva. So if we really want to get deep into the conversation, if we have like an hour to talk right now, so you would be right. You would be right. But on a much more partial level.
To know you're not going to understand everything.
To know you're not going to understand everything. Okay. What do you mean? Meaning,
you should ask questions while I do this, while I do that, and just not have questions, not going to do it.
So you could put that under Emunah.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Basically, that is, in a sense, what Emunah is, that I don't understand everything. There's that line where you cross over from understanding and then Emunah. Because if I understand it and I see it in front of me, what kind of belief is that? That's knowledge. That's Das of Hashem, not Emunah of Hashem. Any other suggestions? No, so the Maharal says, what is the basis of our Avodas Hashem? He says a person has to know who they are. A person has to recognize who am I? Before I start anything else, I have to know who I am. What's the complication of that? What's so difficult about a person knowing who they are? Rav Pinkus has an unbelievable line. He explains in his shir. Rav Pinkus, Chatzar of the Bracha. He says that for the first few moments after an infant is born, you can recognize who the infant is by looking at the essence of that infant. But after day one, from day one and on, you can no longer recognize who that person is. Why? What happens? What?
Social prejudice, I guess.
Very good. Perfect answer. Perfect answer, as we'll get to. Social pressures. People become influenced by everything around them. To say that I am purely just who I am just pure, the famous machlokes amongst the mental health professionals of nature versus nurture. We have some psychology majors here, even if not, I'm sure you guys have heard the terms. Nature versus nurture, what defines what a person is? Is it their genetic makeup? Or is it more how they were raised and their family setting and their environment? Nature versus nurture, the famous machlokes. So says Rav Pinkus, from day one, maybe you could say that's nature. Afterwards, it's almost pure nurture. You can't even recognize who the person is. He says there are two areas in life you can. Two areas in life. One, bin adam l'makom, one bin adam l'chaviro. And it's in those two areas in specific that you can really get to the essence of who a person is. Bin adam l'makom, what is it? In tefillah. In tefillah. Bin adam l'chaviro, what is it? In a marriage. Those are the two times in our lives that we can really get to the essence of who we truly are. But even getting to that point is not so simple. Because to just purely be myself and to block out the entire world around me is not a simple thing. To know what my motivations are and to know that they're purely just to be double to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with nothing else impacting my thoughts and my emotions and my actions is an almost impossible thing to do in this world. Probably in this world leading up to our generation and 1,000 times more in our generation where everything is just basically on display. Because we're impacted by so many things, so many people see us in so many different areas of our lives. I don't want to raise the issue, but it is a very prevalent issue of, well, what kind of girl am I going to get? How many people here have had to make a decision, should I go on the Shabbaton, should I not? Well, if I go, how's that going to impact my shidduch options? What's that going to say? Should I go to this year or that year? If I go to that year, well, then maybe the shidduch will be of this good. If I go there, where am I going to live after I graduate college? If I live in this community, maybe that'll show this. So am I making the decision based purely on my own thought process? Or is everything around me impacting how I'm making my decision? To say that I am purely being myself is a near impossible task. Says Rav Dessler, listen to how he says it. Achar chet Adam HaRishon, after the Aver of Adam HaRishon, this is in Chelek Gimel, page 116. Achar chet Adam HaRishon, kishenis arvu hatov vihara. Once the good and bad was all mixed into the person and became internalized within Adam HaRishon, e efshar lahasig dargas lishma. We are not able to really connect to that level of doing things purely lishma. Because there's too much going on. The motivation for our actions, being sincere, is a tremendous challenge because there's so many things that are pushing me in so many different directions. How do I know really why I'm doing what I'm doing? How many people here can say that every time they're in the Beis Medrash, there's not a single ounce of awareness maybe of that people may be looking at me and seeing what I'm up to? It's a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. And we're always aware of it on some level. Some more than others. Each person's battling their Yetzirah in their own way. But it's a big Nisayon. It's a big Nisayon. And we have to battle it. Says of Dessler, we can't even begin to connect to that level of knowing for sure that we are doing things l'shma, Ella, unless behatznei aleches. Unless we exhibit the midah of tznius. Kidei shelo yisgah, so that we are not elevating ourselves or trying to be haughty or trying to make ourselves look good. Mayerach b'seser, av divrei Torah b'seser, he concludes saying that divrei Torah has to be something that's more hidden within us. And we'll get to that more later, the connection between tznius and Torah, we'll get to that more later. But in terms of our midos, in terms of why we explain that tznius is the mafteach to all the midos tovos in the world, why? Because without it, how do we know what we're doing and why we're doing it? To connect to that pure sincerity within us is a near impossible task. So when Rabbi Pinkus says that when in our tfilos, we can really feel who we are, why? Because davening is just a relationship between me and Hashem. And that's it. No, yeah, maybe I can pump my fist, I can go back and forth, I could cry. That's not tefillah. We're not talking about that as tefillah. That's your external motions. We're not talking about that. We're talking about pure, the connection between me and Hashem. At that point, that's when I can feel how close am I truly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And within marriage, why? God willing, you guys will get to that stage of life, but marriage brings out your inner essence. Just on a practical level, there's only so much you can fool your friends and fool your roommates and fool your family members, but you can't fool your wives. Okay? There's a practical aspect to it, and even on an emotional level, the Maharal writes that ahava, that true love, what does the word love mean? It means that when two neshamas are linked at their core. So Bezras Hashem Yisparach Yisrael also be all bizoche to experience a true love in a marriage, meaning what? To be truly connected to another person at your core. By definition, that means you are revealing who your inner essence really is. So says our Pinkus, those are two areas that we can truly feel, begin to feel, what our essence is. But besides that, it's so hard to know what am I really about? The Midah of Tznius means I'm staying within myself. I am recognizing who I am. So yes, we have said, we started off with 5-6 Makomos already that spoke about how tznius obviously is not just about a woman's clothing. And yet, that's how it's come down in lexicon, that's what it really means. Tznius is about a woman's clothing. So what's the real understanding of that? It's not only about that, but it is a real manifestation. Why? Because the yofi of a woman, the beauty of a woman, was given to the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a real thing. Yes, as a taiva, it's a hara 100%. But there's a reason why the imahos were described in the Torah as being beautiful, as having that as being a yofi, as being a beautiful person. The beauty of a woman is something that she has to keep to herself. By not dressing in a tsanua way, what is she doing? It's not just that simply she's just not dressing tsanua. She's uncovering her elbows. That's not being tznius. That's not following halacha. I want to talk about what does it mean to not be tzanua? To not be tzanua means that I want to show myself off to the world. A girl can be covering her elbows, her collarbone, her knees perfectly, amazing, wow, she's such a tzanua, but not, she's covering her body, so she's following halacha, but not tzanua bichlal. How? If she's still putting herself out to the world. If the personality is still one that's up front and in front of everyone and everyone can see. And it's the same with men also. The midah of tznius applies to men just as much as it applies to a woman. The only difference in the physical halachic nature, so it could be there are sources in Maharal and other Machshava Svarim that discuss how the inherent kedusha of a woman is on a higher level than a man. So therefore, as a physical manifestation of that, she's required to keep herself covered and internalized more than a man has to. You hear that point? It's a very important, crucial point. Because if the woman has a higher level of Kedusha, and she, on a physical level, is showing her body off to the world, so then she's revealing who she is. That higher level of Kedusha is now being let out to the world, and she's losing that connection to who she is. So the halachic manifestations apply to a woman more than a man, but the concept of tzniyah still applies to a man just as much. Yeah?
So is there a difference between tzniyah and humbleness, I guess? It could be interchangeable,
huh? I would say they're connected. I don't want to say interchangeable, but they're connected. Like you said, in terms of gaiva. What's gaiva?
Me saying I'm awesome and, you know, every little man.
Right, but what's really gaiva? What's at the core of gaiva?
Oh, it's the lack of self-confidence.
Oh, it's the opposite, right? A lack of self-confidence. So therefore, what do I have to do?
My confidence is based on everybody else's.
I'm going to show myself off to the world. I'm going to make everyone think I'm much better than I really am. So when you said the basis for Avodas Hashem is getting rid of gaiva, that's very true. It's very true. Because knowing who I am, if I really am in touch with who I am, and I'm comfortable with that, and I believe in that, says Rav Tzadok, that Kishem Shet Tzarech Lahamin Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu, the same way we have to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Tzarech Achar Kach Lahamin Ba'atzmecha. So too, we have to believe in ourselves. So if I believe in myself, then gaiva has no place. What do I need to show off and make myself look good in front of you if I know who I am and I believe in who I am? So yes, gaiva and tznius, anava, it's all interchanged, 100%. But it starts with tznius because the first step is being an internal person. Someone who focuses internally and not tries to show myself off to the world living in an external sense. You have a question also? You're okay. All right? So let's go a step further here. Well, first, just to clinch that point, to really drive it home, in source number 6, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Kihavu Miftri Rabbanu Mibei Rav Ami, right, when the Rabbanu would leave from Rabbi Ami, they would part ways, Rabbi Lami Bei Rabbi Chanina, maybe it was from Rabbi Chanina, either one, they would have their parting words for each other. What was their bracha that they would give to each other? It would say, Amri Lehachi, Olamcha Tire Bechayecha. Your world you should see in your lifetime. You've heard that phrase before? It's a common phrase. Olamcha Tire Bechayecha. The bracha that they give to each other, you should see your world in your lifetime. Knowing who I am and knowing what my world is really all about is not a pasha thing. So for that to be their bracha to each other is a beautiful bracha. It's telling you, Olamcha, Dafka Olamcha, your world you should be zoche to see in your lifetime. To be able to block out everything around you, to be able to not focus on the impact that people around you are having or on doing things for the wrong motivations, for the wrong reasons, and simply be Olamcha. Your world you should see in your lifetime. A person who is zoche to be on that level, that's an unbelievable individual. That's a person who has reached that level of the Maharal, the first step of Avodas Hashem, of knowing who we are. So let's go a little bit deeper. Connect this to what our Kabbalah Satorah has to be about and why the level, the Midah of Tznius, again, is so crucial in our level of Limud HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Meseches Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin, in source number 7, Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva Banam Hayu Lala Kimchis. Kimchis, the famous Kimchis, had 7 sons. V'chulon Shimshu B'kahuna Gedola. They all became what? They all became Kohanim Gedolim. Oh, imagine the nachas of a mother seeing her 7 sons becoming Kohanim Gedolim. Armala Chachamim, so the Chachamim said to her an obvious question that we would all want to know. Ma'asis Shezachis Lekach. What did you do? What could you possibly have done that you were so zoche to have 7 children, 7 sons, and they each became a Kohen Gadol? What in the world could you have done that was so unbelievable in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes to make you zoche to that level? Amra Lahem, she said to them, Miyamai lo ra'u koros besi kilei sa'arai. All the days of my life, what is that verse of the Gemara mean, guys? What is it talking about? She said, all the days, what? The walls of my house did not see my own hair. Even within her own house, she never revealed her hair. Amrullah, they said to her back, Harbi asuchein velo ho'ilu, many have done such a thing and it did not work. So what exactly that part of the Gemara means?
Isn't that last piece pretty much fair? Like, they would just take her literal words saying, I would cover, they weren't really sneers, though. Like, they were trying to jump the gun, basically. Like, they thought they were at that level, but they're not really at that level.
Very good. Very good. So that's what I would say. It's just on a simple level, that's probably what the answer is. That's how I would explain it. I didn't look into the Rishonim to say for sure, but I would guess that's probably what it means. Yeah.
Maybe you could say it's kind of like before, recognize who the person is. They, in their essence, had to do with this particular Mida as opposed to the other ones. It wasn't really who they were. That wouldn't have such a strong tie.
Also good answer. Also a little bit of a deeper, same thing, but going a little bit deeper. Very true. Could be very true. That for Kimchus, that was her tachlis.
Right.
That was her nisayon in life. So when she perfected that nisayon, so she was so zoche.
Right.
Very good. But let's go a little step deeper. A little step deeper here. Let's understand. It wasn't necessarily for Kimchus that, let's be meduric in the Gemara here a little bit. It's not that she was such a tzaddikus and such a tzanua because no men ever saw her hair. What didn't see her hair? The walls of her house. What's so special about the walls of her house never seeing her own hair? Basically meaning she never, ever, ever uncovered it. There was no such thing as anything. Her hair was never uncovered in this world. Says the Maharal, she was such an internalized person that everything about her was between her and herself and nothing else, that was manifested in this world in a physical, gashmiya sense. It was manifested in that she never exhibited herself to anything. There's another Gemara I didn't photocopy for you guys, but there's a Gemara that says that, I believe, I remember the exact Gemara, that there was a Tana who heard a hesped of an individual. And the Maspid, the one who was giving the Hesped, said of this person that he was a Tzanua. And the Tana asked, how do you know if he was a Tzanua? Did you follow him into the bathroom to see how he acted in the bathroom? Well, what does that mean? In the bathroom, so a person's not going to be Tzanua. Well, why is that the defining factor if a person is Tzanua or not? Why can't a person be Tzanua based on how they are in the world? So again, it's all the same idea. When we are in private, there are halachas of tznius even in the bathroom. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Kriya Shema, Hilchos, I believe it's in Hilchos Kriya Shema, so there, maybe it's even before that thing. So the halachas just dictate to us how we are supposed to uncover ourselves, how we're supposed to go to the bathroom. There are halachas about that, doing it even in that tznua way, when there's no one around us. There are no people there. We have to be tznua, because being tznua means we are internalized. We are only connected to ourselves, we only care about what we are doing. We are all a chelek elokam imal. We are all a piece, kaviyachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to create a human being, v'yipach ba'ap av nishmas chayim, I am going to create a human being by putting my presence into them. So we are all trying, our life goal, we are all trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is he in miracles that are going on in the world? Is he in the death of Osama bin Laden? Is he in nature? Yes, he is in all those things, 100%. But much more present. It's just that we have to be able to feel it, much more present. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Within every single Jew. V'yipach ba'ap av nishmas chayim. We are all chelik elokam imal. Those are literal meanings of what is the metzias of this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is internalized within us. So if I want to make that connection to Hashem, if I want to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where should I be looking? How should I be focused? Within myself. Just being an internal Jew. By going out into the world, by having to live my life in public, by having to live my life on a blog or on tweets. What is that saying? That's saying that nothing that's internalized within me is important. That's not my focus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not my focus. My thoughts and my beliefs that are within me and therefore by definition connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not important. What's important is if the whole world sees it. But the second the whole world sees it, Now it's not, it lessens the connection between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm throwing it out there instead of keeping it within me. Now, does that mean a person's not supposed to share things? Of course we do. But to just put it out in public? No. For no reason, just to show the whole world, look what I can do? No. We have to connect to ourselves. That's the ikar. Kimchas was zoche to have 7 sons for Kohanim Gedolim, because what's the mile of a Kohen Gadol? What was he able to do that no other person could do? He was the one who was Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lefnai V'Lefnim. The phrase that's spread throughout this forum. The Kohen Gadol was Oved Lefnai V'Lefnim. He was the one who went as internally as possibly could be into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And she was Zocha to have those children because that was her essence. She was a purely internalized individual. She was a purely Tzanua woman. Not because she didn't uncover her hair. These other women also didn't uncover their hair. But she was purely internalized. She was focused on that depth of the level of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence within her. And because of that, the children that came from her were Zoche to connect to Hashem in the most internalized place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is in this world. You see the connection, guys? Understand how that works? It was based on her tznius, of the real midot tznius, that she was Zoche to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow her to have sons who would serve him in the most holy place, the most internalized place in this world. What is the Torah, guys? What is the Torah? We learn Torah. What is it? Is it a book? Is it some thing that some rabbis put together? Even let's say it's the Gemara. Okay, we won't focus on the Chumash, the Chamishah Chumshei Torah, or even the Via Miksuvim. Even the Gemara. Is it just an intellectual pursuit? Is it something like our psychology books, or our math books, or our philosophy books? Of course not. What is the Torah? The Torah is the Devar Hashem. It is the words of Hashem. The only way we are Zoche to understand and connect to the words of Hashem is only if we are connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Rasha may be able to intellectually know Kol HaTorah Kula, and there are many of them out there. There are many people out there who know the entire Torah. They know the whole Bible, they know the whole Talmud, they know all the Shalos Tshuvos. What's the English word for that? They know all the responsa. They know all the responsa. But that is not connecting to the Dvar Hashem. Real Limud HaTorah is connecting to the Dvar Hashem. We've spoken about this in another context. I can't expect that everything I do outside of the Beis Medrash is not going to impact me when I'm in the Beis Medrash. If I go outside into the world and I go to places that I shouldn't be going to and I do things that I shouldn't be doing and I come back into the Beis Medrash, my learning is not going to be on the same level. My learning is going to be severely lacking. I may not feel it, I may not know it, but there'll be a lacking in my learning. There'll be something, a level of Limud HaTorah that I will not be able to reach. Only by working to perfect my level of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow me to connect to His words, meaning the Torah. And like we said, where do I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the deepest, strongest level? Internally. Because that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's what being a Tzanua is all about. Knowing who I am, being connected to myself, blocking out everything around me, trying to recognize what am I? Where do I connect to Hashem? Within myself. And if that's how I'm connecting to Hashem, if I'm being tzanu and I'm connecting to Hashem, then I'm able to go and learn. Now I can sit down because I have such a strong bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, on a stronger level than seeing Hashem in the outside world. On a stronger level than looking at a miracle and being inspired. On a much deeper, more powerful level than that, but purely because I'm connecting to Hashem on an internal level, now I can sit down and learn. Now I can have a real Kabbalah HaTorah. So tznius is that crucial midah. Tznius is that thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, when Rashi tells us, that this is what led to the downfall of the first luchos, because there was a lack of tznius there, because it was given with in such a public setting, with such celebration and such attention. The luchos shnios, the ones that are lasting, that was more betzina, in private. When it's more in private, we can connect to it. By connecting to it, we allow ourselves to be able to really be makabel the Torah. Just to give you guys a few things for thought. Number one, if that's the case, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu do it that way in the first place? If tznius is the way to really connect to the Torah, because by being tzanuah, I'm connecting to Hashem, and therefore I can connect to His Torah, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the Torah in the first place in such a celebration type of public manner? Think about that. Number two, how does tznius play out in a marriage? Because if tznius means that I'm supposed to be private and connected to myself, then just even in a practical dynamic, how does that play out in a marriage? Isn't a marriage supposed to be that everything is just revealed to each other? I'm supposed to share everything about myself. There are no secrets in a marriage. So by definition, how do I have tznius in a marriage? In the place in our lives, in the area of our lives where we want to have the most kedusha, it seems almost like a stira, because to have kedusha, to be connected to Hashem, I have to be internalized and in a sense keep to myself. But yet, I have to connect to my wife on the deepest level. So how do I do that? Those are just two foods for thought. In the meantime, guys, we should all be so zocha bezus Hashem yisparach to feel who we truly are, to battle that yetzahara that tells us, look at everyone around you, look what he's thinking about you, look at that guy, be impacted by this thing. We should be able to stay within ourselves, be focused on who we are and our strengths, and even in our weaknesses and what we have to work on. And in that way, we connect to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then we're therefore able to connect to the Torah, and be makabel the Torah in the real way. Shkoach, guys.